I wanted to go overseas again, we had to do an internship for our class. And I decided that I want to do my internship overseas. And so I went back to El Salvador for an entire summer. And we had teams coming from all over the United States coming down for a week or 2 weeks. And we would host these teams and we would teach them these dramas and human videos and help them as they work in different parts of El Salvador. And the last team that came down was a WM's team. How many of you know what WM's is? Women's Ministries. Anyway, this team was mostly middle-aged and older. How would you say that? And usually when those teams come down to El Salvador, they will stay at the camp and they'll sew clown costumes or do things like that. But these ladies were really adventurous. They wanted to do something amazing and crazy for God. And so we decided we'd take them to the island off the coast of El Salvador. What that consisted of was them taking one backpack and getting in these boats, taking these small boats across to this island and doing ministry for 4 days with nothing but your one backpack. And this isn't one of those mountain backpacks. It's not one of those huge ones where you can fit stuff for a year. It's like one of the small little backpack, you know, take with you to go to a picnic about half a block away. You know, that's the type of backpack. So each person, that's all that they brought with them. And these women did amazing ministry. They ministered to these children and to these students. And it was amazing to see them give their hearts and be used of God to lead people to Jesus. And at that point, I realized that God doesn't care how old we are, whether we're young or old. He wants to use all of us. And that was just incredible. So when I came back for my senior year of college, and I had the opportunity to go on one more missions trip during spring break. I didn't go down to Florida. I didn't go to California to go relax. I went to Vietnam on a missions trip. Vietnam is a communist country, and many of the pastors and churches do not have Bibles in their own language. And so what we were doing was we were bringing Bibles, a team of 25 of us bringing 30 Bibles each into the country in their own language. And as we were preparing to do this, they told us, there's three lines when you come into customs in the country. There's the first line, which is the super long line. How many of you like to wait in the super long line? No? Okay. The next line is the second, like half of that. And the third line, there's not that many people. They said, go in the longest line. Because the longest line, they're trying to get the people through as quick as possible. So I get off the plane, being the American I am, and I see, ooh, nobody in that line. I go to the third lane, and we wrapped all these Bibles up in black plastic garbage bags. And as I start walking, I see on the conveyor belt, black plastic garbage bags. At this point, I am really worried. I was one of the last people off. I thought, okay, our entire team got caught. What's going to happen? Are they sending me back? Are they putting me in jail? What are they going to do? And so I started walking through, and the guy said, sir, would you please step over here? Stepped over there. Sir, would you please take out all the books? So I started taking out all the books. He started asking me all kinds of questions about where I got them, and I was so nervous. I didn't know if he was going to allow me to finish this trip or what was going to happen. And so he ended up allowing me to go through and finish the trip. At that point, I still had no idea if I was the only one or if all of us gotten caught. I still got 5 Bibles through, by the way. Those were hidden really, really well. But I found out that only 2 of us had gotten caught. And we had to take a taxi a different way to the hotel in case we were being followed. And once we got to the hotel, we put all the Bibles together and put them in a van. And the next day, we drove from Ho Chi Minh City to Nha Trang, which is on the coast of Vietnam. And there we got to our hotel. We went inside. And then a Vietnamese guy got in the driver's seat of the van and drove it to North Vietnam so that pastors and churches could have Bibles in their own language. It's amazing when you have an opportunity to be a part of helping those who do not have the Bible at all, those who have not heard at all. I realized from that moment on that I wanted to be involved with reaching the unreached people of this world. When I was a freshman in college, afterward, during the summer, I went back to New London, which is my hometown, and I decided that I wanted one of those summer jobs where you don't have to do anything and you get lots of money. How many of you would like that kind of job? So I thought that's the kind of job I was going to get. So the first week went by, no job. Second week went by, no job. Third week went by, still no job. And my parents finally said, get a job. And so that week I went back to the job I worked at in high school, which was Burger King. And I flipped burgers for the summer. By the way, wo ai ni. Oh, thank you. Thank you. When I got done with college, I was thinking, okay, now I'm finally going to get to go right to the mission field. But I ended up moving back home to New London and working temp jobs. How many of you have ever worked a temp job? Temp jobs are really interesting. Sometimes you work different places every day, sometimes every week, sometimes every month. Temp jobs I had, one day I would be mowing lawn. The next day, I'd be on top of a factory cleaning air conditioning ducts with high-powered hoses. The next day, I'd be working on parts for tanks in Iraq. And then the next day, I'd be putting little golf tees in packages for banks for promotional tools. It's incredible the places you'll go and the people you'll meet in temp work. And then even the last 3 years, I've been a youth and associate pastor in New London, but I've also had to work full-time doing data entry. I have three people that I've worked with during the last 3 years. My boss, who every year I had an opportunity to give a Christian book to for Christmas, and he'd invite me into his office afterwards and begin to talk to me about it, ask me questions about this book. My other coworker, who loved music, and because we were working data entry, we could listen to music all day while we worked, and so I was able to give her Christian music to listen to. And then my third coworker, who she had never really been to church much in her life. She didn't have that kind of upbringing. She had all kinds of questions that she would ask me when she found out that I was a pastor. She asked me so many different questions about God, about religion, about different churches. She just desired so much more knowledge and so much more to know about Jesus. And I had an opportunity to explain about the gospel, explain who Jesus really was, explain the path to knowing him. And so she ended up becoming the first person to support us monthly for going overseas. And she also got her mom to support us for going overseas. The reason I tell you that is that it's incredible the places that God puts you and the reasons he puts you there. I did not want to be at Burger King. I did not want to be at those temp jobs. I did not want to do the data entry. But God put me there for a reason. Oh, by the way, when I was working those temp jobs, I thought to myself, I wanted to get a real job, you know, one that you're working like at least 30 hours a week full time. And, you know, I wanted to get one of those jobs where, you know, a full time job. How many of you guys like coffee? Well, I don't like coffee at all. I like the smell of coffee, but I end up working at Starbucks. And so that's the place that I worked at. But the reason I tell you all that stuff is that just to say that each of those situations, God had me there for a reason. He had me there to work on the own things inside of me and also to impact people's lives that I was around each and every day. He really has amazing things for you. How many of you have any embarrassing stories? Nobody's willing to admit that, huh? So nobody's ever been embarrassed. Guess it's just me. All right, I want to tell you a couple of embarrassing stories. When I was in college, a junior in college, I decided that I needed to find a girlfriend slash wife because I hadn't really dated at all up to that point, and I realized that I needed to find somebody a wife before I left college, because otherwise, where would you find a wife after that? I mean, if you can't find them in college, they're not out there, right? So that's what I thought. And so they had this thing called Spring Banquet at North Central, where you go to a fancy dinner, and then you go to drama or play. And so I decided to write down a list of names of girls that I was interested in. So I wrote down this list. How many of you guys have ever written a list? Not that kind of list, just a grocery list. You guys have at least had one in your head before, people you were interested in. All right, I'm going to move. Actually, that part would be pretty normal. That's not the embarrassing part. The embarrassing part is then I took this list and went around to each guy on my floor and had them vote for which girl I should take. I don't know what I was thinking. And the girl that they voted for, I didn't even ask. I asked a different girl, and that she was a freshman, and she wasn't interested. She had plans for the night, and it just didn't work out at all. So my senior year came around, and I still didn't have a wife. And so I decided, I really need to find a wife now. It's my senior year, last chance. And so Valentine's Day was coming around, and I decided I need to go on a date for Valentine's Day. So I made another list. I guess I didn't learn my lesson the first time. And I made a list of 9 girls, and I ranked them 1, 2, 3, 4. And so I started to call, and I called the first girl, and she said, oh, I've got to work. I called the second girl, and she said, I'm going home for this weekend. Third girl, no. Fourth girl, no. Fifth girl, no. Sixth girl, no. Seventh, eighth, ninth, they all said no. I mean, I thought to myself, do I really look that bad? I mean, I have been using deodorant. I don't look that bad, do I? And at the last minute, the girl that was number one on my list called me back. And she said, I can go. I was excited. I thought, God, this is the one. Thank you so much. This is the person I'm going to marry. Woohoo! So we went out to dinner, and we began to talk, and she started talking to me, and she started talking to me about all the other guys that she liked and was interested in. At that point, the date was over for me. I thought to myself, what did I get into? I found out that we're still good friends to this day. I've talked to her, and she said that she didn't realize that I was actually interested in her. She thought we were just good friends, but it didn't go anywhere from there. My wife still gives me a hard time sometimes because she was number 2 on that list. And with that, I'll let her come up and speak. Now you guys can all see our beautiful daughter, Savannah. Aw, what I need.
Hi. Yeah, I decided to forgive Jim, seeing as I'm number one now. I decided I'd forgive him for that, for his list. I just wanted to share quickly a little bit about my calling, because it's quite different from Jim's. Jim was telling you that he was called to be a missionary when he was 14 years old. But for me, I grew up in a Christian family, and I went to church every week. But being a missionary was the last thing in the world that I wanted to do with my life. Like, I went to church, and I sat there, and I would see the missionaries up on stage. And it was one of those things, it's like, God bless you for what you're doing, but I could never do that. Like, the thought of going to a different country, learning another language, you know, another culture, all that just did not appeal to me. I wanted my dream, and what I thought God had planned for my life was, how many of you know where Duluth, Minnesota is? Okay. Because I'm from Hibbing, Minnesota. I don't know how many of you know where that is, but it's a little further up north, and that's where I grew up. And my dream was to live in Duluth because I just think it's one of the best cities ever. I just really like it. And then I was going to marry a Christian doctor because then you get the best of both worlds. You know, you get a really good Christian guy, but you also get lots of money. So I'm just like, all right, God, this is the perfect life. I'm going to marry a Christian doctor. I'm going to live in Duluth. I'll see my family, you know, off in Hibbing, not too close, not too far, perfect. And so that's what I thought God had planned for my life. And so I decided to attend North Central University, which if I was planning on marrying a doctor, I don't know why I went there because they don't have a pre-med program or anything, but I went there, and while I was there, God was just doing a lot in my life, and I felt like he kept telling me that he had bigger plans for my life than what I was planning for myself. And I didn't really quite understand what that meant. Like, I knew that God wanted me to be a teacher, and so I was kind of pursuing my degree in that. And then as I was doing that, I felt like God was telling me that he wanted to use me heavily in ministry. And so I'm like, okay, God, what are you trying to do? I don't understand. You know, you have different plans for me and want to use me in ministry. I just don't understand. And so shortly later, I met Jim, and we met on a drama team at North Central, and we started hanging out and dating, and he made it clear that he was going to be a missionary. And it was one of those things where it's like, well, I'm going to be a missionary, so this has to be okay with you, or else, you know, we're never going to end up together. And so I'm thinking, oh, missionary, one thing I didn't want to do. And so I'm thinking in my head, I don't know, is this guy really worth it? You know, all the stuff I'd have to sacrifice to be with him. And so, but God started changing my heart, and God brought me to a point back then that at the time I didn't feel called like Jim felt called to missions, but I was willing to go. And so we got married, and we went to China for a year as missionary associates. And while we were there, we taught English to Chinese university students, and it was just such an amazing experience. And we got to build relationships with the students and also with some of the teachers. And, you know, China, it's not your typical place where obviously you can't do open ministry because it's communist. You can't go out in the streets and say, hey, do you know Jesus or Jesus loves you? You have to build relationships with people. And it's through that that they start asking us questions. And over again, God gave us amazing opportunities for us to share our faith. And we got to see Chinese students and teachers draw closer to God. And both of us got the opportunity to tell some of our students about Jesus for the very first time, which was the most incredible thing to me, because you think of someone who's never heard about Jesus ever. Like, when you just think about that, that just blows my mind. That blows my mind away, because I grew up in a home where I heard about Jesus every week. And just to think someone who's never had the opportunity to hear about him, and we got to tell him about Jesus for the first time. And so that's our heart, is that we have a heart to reach the unreached, and we're excited to go back and to reach the people of China. And I just wanted to share a verse really quick. It's in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. It's Jesus speaking. It says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And that's our heart for China. There are so many more who still haven't heard about God, and we're really excited about being able to go back and to tell them about God and let them know that there's hope out there, that there is life. You know, there's eternal life after this life. And we would really appreciate your prayers. And just one last word of encouragement, and it doesn't matter how old you are, if you're really young or not so young, it doesn't matter. What I've learned is that God has plans for everybody, and his plans are so much better than ours. And, you know, given I could have stuck to my plan, I could have stayed in Duluth, and maybe I would have found a Christian doctor, maybe not, I don't know. But, you know, I could have, you know, lived that life, and things probably wouldn't have been okay, but God had something better for me. And so I, you know, just be open to what God has, and because what he has is better, and he loves us, and he wants the best for us.
Thank you. Let's give her a hand. So I'm going to tell you two quick stories. We had a student. Her English name was Isabella. And when we left, their culture is a gift-giving culture. And so we gave them a lot of gifts. We had a kind of a gift-giving party where we gave different gifts when we left. And she also gave us a gift. She gave us this box that was filled with two pairs of chopsticks. And on the underneath side, she wrote a specific message for us. And it said, "When you do your Sunday service, I wish that my name will always be mentioned." Because she realized that she needed our prayers. She realized that the Chinese people need our prayers. They need our help. My grandma felt that she was called to go to China. But in 1949, the doors closed, and she couldn't go to China as a missionary. So she ended up marrying a pastor, and they had amazing ministry in Minnesota and North Dakota, and God used them in amazing ways. My grandma ended up passing away of cancer before she was able to realize that her grandson was going to be fulfilling her call. It's incredible how God works through the generations. And today I just want to encourage you with that, that God has a plan for each person in this place. Whether it might be going overseas somewhere or going right next door and talking to your neighbor, and just becoming good friends with them and opening up and bearing their burdens, the things that are going on in their life, just listening to them and caring about them and praying for them. Maybe it's a classmate that God wants you to reach out to. I believe that no matter what situation you're in, you may be one of those people that had to work at Burger King or working at Starbucks or working some kind of job where you don't necessarily want to be there, but that God has a purpose. Look for that purpose in every day. I could have looked at every day and said, I hate being here. I'm not going to do anything except for live in my own world. And I'm not going to pray for anybody else. I'm not going to talk to anybody else. But instead I said, God, what do you have for me today? I believe God has amazing things for you guys today and tomorrow and this week. So let's just pray. God, thank you so much for each person here. I ask that you'd fill them with a passion inside of their hearts and their souls for more of you, Jesus, that you would give them such a desire to reach out to the unreached, to reach out to people that need you. God, I pray that you would fill us with an awe of you, of your presence, and a desire just to spend time in your presence every day, to spend time just worshiping you, just giving you glory. God, thank you that you are still calling, that you are still reaching out to the lost of this world, that you have a desire to touch people around this world that have never heard about you. I ask that you would just put something inside of our hearts, just a fire for more of you, Jesus, a desire for more of you. God, thank you so much. We love you. Amen. Make sure when...